Welcome to the Covenant Journey Podcast. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to deepen your faith, knowledge, and love of our Lord Jesus as we explore the timeless treasures of the Bible. Join us now as we explore God's Word.
The importance of fellowship even during a crisis and a pandemic. That's our topic on today's Covenant Journey Bible Podcast. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Covenant Journey. We want to talk about the importance of in-person fellowship. No matter whether you're in a crisis or even a pandemic, like the pandemic of 2020, it is very important to be able to gather together. In California, for example, an order was issued that there is no in-person worship services, and that even includes no in-person worship services at your home, even in the privacy of your home. No private home Bible studies, no private home life groups or private home fellowship, completely banned. You cannot do it. It's illegal. What about this particular situation? Is the church essential? Is it essential to actually meet together in person? Or can you just simply switch everything online? Well, certainly a lot of things can go online. But church and the importance of gathering together in a communal relationship, even during a crisis or a pandemic, is very important. Now, Hebrews chapter 10 speaks about gathering together. Verse 24, it says, "Let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good works." Verse 25, "not forsaking our own assembling together, as the custom of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." Let's not forsake our assembling together. That's a custom of some. The writer of Hebrews says, let's not be like those who have developed a habit of not meeting together. But instead, let's come together and let's encourage one another, exhort one another, especially as we see the day approaching. And when he's speaking about the day, that is something that is referenced frequently in the New Testament, particularly in the book of Hebrews. It's talking about the coming of the Lord, the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we see that approaching, and as we see the needs and the benefits of meeting together, let's not forsake that. You know, Jesus was a very communal person. He oftentimes met together for evening meals. You see him meeting with the disciples and his followers in the Last Supper, a Passover meal. There are many references in the New Testament where Jesus reclined at a meal with a wide variety of people. He did that with tax collectors and sinners in the eyes of those individuals that were the religious hierarchy, but he also did it with some of the religious hierarchy. He met in their house. He had dinner with them. He liked to meet with people. He was frequently with people. He was so attracted to people and thus people to him because of his love for them that the children obviously felt very comfortable being around Jesus. He oftentimes had children come to him, whereas other adults at that time would push them to the side, kind of like they should be seen but never heard. That was not the way Jesus dealt with these little children. He encouraged them to come to him. You can see these little children perhaps even sitting on his lap, sitting around him as he is talking directly to them, and that he is giving stories that are interesting to these little children. He was such a communal person, and he loved to gather together for these meals, that some of his adversaries ultimately criticized him, that he was eating with the tax collectors and sinners, that he was a glutton and a drunkard. Now, he wasn't either a glutton or a drunkard. Jesus was not either one of those. But they ultimately exaggerated. Well, he's there with these people always having these meals all the time. We see Jesus having a meal with this group and with that family and in this home and that home. Why did Jesus do that? He did it because getting around a table with people was a very social, communal experience where you would have time to relax, time to speak, time to teach, time to heal. Jesus was very communal because he knew that we are also made as communal individuals. We are made for fellowship. We indeed are made to gather together. And the scripture talks about laying on of hands. You can't lay on hands virtually. Now, I'm not saying anything against virtual. You know, certainly that is a great opportunity to be able to reach people that you otherwise may not be able to reach. But let me give you a story about someone that came to our Covenant Journey program. A young man who ultimately filed his application. He was accepted to go to Israel on the Covenant Journey Ministry program. There was a time that was very dark in this young man's life. And he got to the point where he was actually considering suicide. But what happened was he decided in this last day that was going to be the last day of his life, he was going to drop by this particular church that was open. He walks in and he sits there. He doesn't know anybody at that particular church. He sits there and a man who he does not know, toward the end, as he's getting ready to walk out at the end of this service, and his next stop is to take his own life. That's how close he was to committing suicide. This man noticed something about him. Maybe this man was even an angel in human form. We don't know. We don't know who this man is. This man has no idea, unless he was an angel. This man has no idea of the impact of what happened and how he has changed this other person's life. He noticed something the Lord must have put on his heart. You need to go to this individual. He didn't say a single word, but he was led to go to this young man whose next stop was to walk out of that building and to take his own life. So he goes to this young man and he puts his arms around him and he hugs him. He doesn't say a single word. Not a word. The young man leaves, and he doesn't commit suicide. That hug changed his life forever. That hug prevented him from going to this drastic step in his life where he would take his own life because of the darkness and the depression that had ultimately surrounded him from various circumstances that he had experienced. I'm telling you, you cannot do that online. Online has its place. But the government can't tell you that your worship can only be online. And the government has no right to be able to tell you that you cannot have home Bible study and fellowship. The Bible speaks about anointing, laying your hands on another person. And there's various kinds of anointing or laying on of hands. There is the anointing or laying on of hands to sanctify, to set someone apart for a specific ministry. We see that happening when someone gets commissioned as a missionary or someone gets commissioned as a minister. You lay hands on that person and oftentimes you anoint them with oil. But there's also another laying on of hands, and that is the laying on of hands for somebody who is sick. You lay hands on, it says, don't forsake that laying on of hands. Anoint them with oil and that sick person will ultimately be healed. So there is something about laying on of hands and anointing that person and praying for that person for the depression that they may be experiencing, for the physical situation that they may be experiencing. And yet California has the audacity to say you can't even do that in your home. You cannot even actually go to your neighbor's house and have a Bible study. You can't go to your neighbor's house or to your friend's house, or you can't invite your friends over to have a Bible study and to sing Amazing Grace, to ultimately anoint someone with oil. Laying on of hands. The Bible has so much about the communal relationship because God made us communal. The Greek word for church, ekklesia, comes from the pre-Christian times. Ek is to come out, and ecclesia is to be called, those that are called out. Ecclesia was an assembly during the Greek time period. When the church came into existence, that word ecclesia, or an assembly of people, was used for the church. Where we get the word church is from the Greek word ecclesia. It actually means to have an assembly, to have a meeting, a meeting. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, where it says, not forsaking your own assembling together. Part of that word is synagoge. It is episynagoge, and that is having an assembly together. The word synagogue comes from the Greek word synagoge, and that means an assembly. The word synagogue is an assembly. The word ecclesia is a group of people called out to assemble. The church is an assembly. The synagogue is an assembly. Verse 25 says, don't forsake the episynagoge of yourselves together, the assembling of yourselves together. It is important to be able to get together, to lay somebody's hand on another shoulder, just to let them know that you care, to give them a hug, to let them know that you care. Look, Jesus dealt with a lot of sicknesses, communicable diseases. He dealt with lepers. I'm sure that if you consulted all of the medical professionals in the time of Jesus, even his followers, they probably questioned Jesus, you shouldn't get too close to that person. You could get a communicable disease. And in fact, if you got sick, your ministry would ultimately be affected. And if you got sick, we're communal, we all travel with you, we're all at risk for getting sick. Jesus didn't run from sickness. He ran to those who were sick. And he didn't shun those people who were sick, and even those who had communicable conditions. Like, for example, Peter's mother-in-law, she had a fever. We don't know what caused that fever, but it was a very high fever. She was burning up, whatever it was causing some serious issues. Was it a flu? Was it a cold? I don't know. Was it communicable? I have no idea. The Bible doesn't say. But we know that he actually communicated, fellowshipped, touched people, and healed them. Instead of running from disease, he ran to that disease, and he put his hands on people, and he ultimately healed them. For those individuals who were outcast, he didn't run from them. He ultimately ran to them. The church does not run from fear. It doesn't run from those who are persecuting. It doesn't run during a crisis. The church doesn't run during a pandemic. The church doesn't run during communicable diseases. We run as a body to help those who are hurting. And there are so many people who are isolated because of various conditions and orders and things that we have experienced in our community. It is time, and it is very important to meet together. You know, Jesus said that the church, his church, he will build his church on this rock, and the gates of hell, the fury of Satan, the wrath of the evil one, will not prevail against his church. Let us go forward as the body of Christ, reflecting Christ, assembling together, and let us be the church where we are helping and healing those who are in need, not only in our assembly, but in our communities as well. May God bless you. May God raise up the church. May the church be even stronger than ever. And by the way, don't think of the church as some third party or some big amorphous group. The church is you. The church is me. The church is each one of us. Don't forsake that. Don't be intimidated. Follow our Lord Jesus Christ, because he is not afraid, and there is no fear when we walk in the presence of our Lord. For more information, visit covenantjourney.org.
You've been listening to the Covenant Journey podcast. We hope that we have informed, inspired, and encouraged you to deepen your faith, knowledge, and love for our Lord Jesus as we've explored the Word of God. Visit covenantjourney.org where you can obtain additional notes and information to enhance your study of the Scriptures. The website again is covenantjourney.org. You can also email us at cj@covenantjourney.org. Share this podcast with your friends. Visit covenantjourney.org.